It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How complete was the Bears' tea party from London? A 35-16 blowout of the Jaguars. Was that the Keenan Allen game, the Cole Kmet game? Don't forget, he doubled up as the emergency long snapper. Or the Caleb Williams game? How would you choose to define the best victory of the season?
Yeah, I mean, all of the above. I mean, it's probably the Caleb Williams game when you really get down to it, because he threw four touchdowns. Cole Kmet was sensational. And you know, it was very interesting to me, a couple of points. One, the play to Kmet down the middle of the field was an incredibly well-designed play. That was a great play where the quarterback gets the ball. He fakes a screen. No, he's going the other way. And while everybody's kind of recovering from that, boom, right down the middle of the field. I mean, the guy's wide open. Then he takes a hit and drags the would-be tackler into the end zone. He's just a great play by Cole Kmet. And he gets two touchdowns, and he's also long snapping, so he can't celebrate one of the touchdowns because, hey, you got to snap the ball for the extra point, which I thought was really funny. It was just kind of amazing, and I thought, I guess it was a little bit high on a couple of the snaps, but I thought, you know, from the untrained eye, I thought looked pretty good. He looked like he could do it. I just thought to myself, guy played baseball at Notre Dame. He's a hell of an athlete. He can do stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly he does some practice on it. He says he does it a few times every Thursday.
Twice a Thursday.
The other thing, and I'll finish quickly, is just that they talked about getting the ball to Keenan Allen. They said on the broadcast that the quarterback told them he was going to get the ball to Keenan Allen, and sure enough, threw a couple touchdowns to him. The first of which he did like this. I thought for sure the second foot was out when I saw it. And then they showed it. The guy, he's just a master, Keenan Allen. It was great to see him get involved.
It was the Keenan Allen game. I don't think there's a bad answer. These are all great answers. But it was the Keenan Allen game. I mean, we talked about how important he could be not only to Caleb Williams, but to that room, the wide receiver room, if you will, helping develop that. And he's obviously healthy right now. So now he goes into the bye, gets to have this feel-good afternoon, morning, however you want to describe it, in London. And I think that's going to carry – He could really be the difference in this team being okay and good.
I think Cole Kmet deserves credit for being versatile. I love the fact that he learned how to long snap because his uncle and his dad told him that's the way you make teams. You make yourself indispensable. You give them something else you can do. Keenan Allen, yes and no. I mean, the numbers aren't great. He was definitely what you thought he could be. He was a guy that's going to make a clutch catch. He caught five passes, 41 yards, and two touchdowns, and they were very nice catches, and they were very beautiful throws. And to me, that's why this is the Caleb Williams game. This is the game where he threw four touchdowns, made a little history along the way, and it was treated in London like a coronation. And in Chicago, it was more confirmation. It was, this is the guy who makes this team different. This is the guy who makes this typically put together Bears team of defense and special teams. He make you feel like you got a little bit more ambition, a little higher aspirations, because you have a special quarterback. We saw the special. That arm talent is obvious. We also saw him do things he hadn't really done so much of, and that's tuck it and run. He had over 50 yards running. He has a presence of mind. He has command. This is the Caleb Williams game, because this is the Caleb Williams season. And it continues at 4-2 with the bye week, feeling like the Bears can contend in the NFL's toughest division. And yesterday underscored that.
These are the questions I cannot answer, right?
There will be questions for Olin, 7 a.m. Is it difficult to keep the Bears season in perspective, given they are 4-2, looking competitive in the best division in football? Do you temper your enthusiasm since the team's opponents thus far are 10 and 20. Is it better going into a bye week knowing the team is improving and building momentum regardless of the opponents? Do you feel better knowing we've acknowledged the that fact and can go back to enjoying a victory Monday?
Well, they're good questions and they're pertinent ones because you do want to check yourself if you're prone to doing such things. But I have to say this. If you want to get carried away in Chicago about a 4-2 start by the Bears, by all means, get carried away.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team and a franchise that has not won a playoff game in 14 years come January. That's way too long. The wait has been far too long and arduous and painful and dysfunctional and everything. Right now, you have a team that looks like they know what they're doing. Dare I say, they even look like they're well-coached more times than not. You have a special quarterback that you've never had, a defense that refuses to break, but it'll bend, but it still is an elite defense, keeping people out of the end zone. You have to keep in mind, the second half of your schedule is much different than the first. You have taken care of business, but there have been past teams not that long ago that could not take care of this business against the teams, whether they're 10 and 20 or 0-30. This is a Bears team that has done what is necessary to keep that kind of hope alive this season. They are in the best division in football. The NFC North is not messing around, and the Bears are keeping pace. So if you want to exaggerate what that means, go ahead. I don't think the Bears can allow themselves to do that. Let's hope they know how to handle success. We know they can handle adversity. They tell us how much they can, and we have seen them do it. That's what they're good at, creating crisis and then handling them and then taking credit for it. This year, they have a little success. Let's see how they handle it. If they can handle success, it's going to be a fun season.
Well, I think the key to this 4-2 is that each and every week, Caleb Williams gets better. That's what's important. And, Mully, as you pointed out in the first segment of the show, this bye comes at a great time because they can get healthy. They go into it with the win. I think that's extremely, extremely important going in. And you feel good. Got people involved. Running game was okay. Offense this morning, we're not in here destroying the offensive line. Despite they won, the offensive line still stinks. Offensive line thought overall played pretty good yesterday. So there's a lot of positives here. Lots and lots of positives.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I think that, you know, I feel better that we've acknowledged, yeah, they're not playing the best teams in the league. Now we can go back to having our fun. I really do believe it's important to keep in perspective the season that they're having vis-a-vis the season that the teams in their division are having. And when you finally get to the point where you're playing those teams, we'll find out if this growth, both in understanding and in feel for the game and in confidence, is going to lead to better things moving forward. You can only play the teams in front of you. You can only handle your business against who you are scheduled to play. And they've done that now. Getting to 4-2 is really nice to see because they should be 4-2. You know, I thought when I was looking at the season, I think I had them at 4-2. I thought the Rams would beat them, and I thought they'd beat Indy. And the way it turned out, it obviously is a different way around. And maybe, as you said earlier, David, the Indy loss has helped them to put together their three-game winning streak. It is not a modest three-game winning streak. You beat three teams in the NFL. Hey, they're getting paid. They got professional players. Professional coaches, they are professionals. And, you know, you can misstep and easily lose games that you're supposed to win, that you're favored in. It's just really good to see the Bears get to a point in the season where now that you get a little pause, now you get to kind of enjoy what you've accomplished. You're on the right track, and you got to keep it going. And let's hope the coaches go to work and work hard to try to figure out some of the foibles and problems with this team. And they exist, unquestionably, but there are a lot of good things, and you should feel good about where they're at right now.
Coming out hot with the hot question, but
DJ Moore, hopefully we're talking to him at 8 o'clock. We've already talked about the Bears' injury concerns. Kyler Gordon's got a hamstring. Scott Daly's got a knee. Is the bigger news the healthy and active of Nate Davis, Velus Jones, Monique Robinson, all making the inactive list? Does it feel like the end of the road for Davis? Will he finish the season with the team, given that Ryan Bates and Larry Borum are both set to return? Do you consider his $10 million price tag a sunken cost at this point?
That's all it is, unfortunately. That is the reality of the situation. That, you know, they signed to a three-year, $30 million deal. The guaranteed money ends this year. They do not have to pick up the final year of $10 million. It doesn't seem like they're inclined to do so. This feels like, you know, 1 foot in the grave, 1 foot on a banana peel in terms of this guy's Bears career. You're looking at a situation where they've done everything they can think of, clearly. They went so far as to call the guy out at the podium, not once, but a couple times. And I don't know, that was like a last gasp type thing. This just indicates that he's heading out the door because, you know, Ryan Bates is coming back. Larry Borum is going to be available. They are going to have hard decisions. And then you say to yourself, is it really that hard? Is it a difficult decision? When a guy is a healthy scratch, that means they're done with him. That means he's gone. I can't imagine anything else happening. And if they need a roster spot, I would say that, unfortunately, Velus Jones has not been given another opportunity. They gave him every chance and unfortunately fumbled. And we have not seen him since. Dominique Robinson's an interesting case because they drafted him. He's a converted player and a great athlete. You thought his body shape looked like he had done some pretty good work. But there just hasn't been an opportunity. And now they got another defensive end who's ready to come in. And by the way, congratulations to the Bears because they moved some people up off the practice squad and put them on the roster, and they contributed. They got some sacks out of a couple of guys that you wouldn't have thought they were going to get sacks out of. So I think they did a pretty good job, that some of the secondary members, et cetera. You just worry when people don't, when they're scratched all year, that means they're not part of the plan.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Davis not being active yesterday, Tevin Jenkins, we never know how he's going to get through a game. And kudos for him for getting out there. And I thought he looked pretty good. I haven't watched the game a second time yet, but I didn't notice him doing bad things.
He finished the game.
Yeah. Taylor on the other side. You know, talk about a guy who deserves a contract, right? Like, that's a guy you want to keep around. Like, that's a guy who could be your starting guard or your swing guard, your swing tackle. Like, he covers a lot of, right?
Matt Pryor?
I'm sorry, Pryor. I said Taylor.
Oh, Pryor,
I'm
yes.
Sorry.
Matt Pryor.
Pryor.
He has.
I said Taylor. He has played himself into a contract. Yeah. So, yeah, I do not see Nate Davis back with the Bears. I think we've seen the end.
Yeah.
Sunken cost.
I think the credit to the Bears is that we're talking about Nate Davis and we're talking about the sunk cost, but they don't seem to be caught up in the fact that it means anything more than you're not playing somebody who hasn't earned the playing time, and you're making a move for the good of the football team, and there are no other extracurricular reasons or things that are going on, nothing because you veteran status or any of this nonsense. It's just moving on. They're moving on just the way they moved on from Velus Jones. They're moving on from Nate Davis. Sunk cost. They're willing to take those hits if they're PR hits, and I don't think they're PR hits. I think that they're probably a credit to the Bears, and that this is a meritocracy. You've got to play to keep your job, and if you don't, you'll lose it. And just look, because those are two examples of guys. One, a high draft pick, the first offensive player taken by Ryan Poles. The other one, an expensive free agent, has never earned his money. So you've got to play to perform. And Ryan Bates and Larry Borum coming back, that's good news for an offensive line that started its second game together. They were serviceable, not spectacular, but you didn't notice them being bad, and that's progress for the Bears. You never know with an offensive line how it gels and comes together. Now they have an off week to get more progress and reps together. We'll find out what direction they go. Credit to the secondary, though. This depth was ready. Josh Blackwell and Jalen Jones stepped up and replaced Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, and Jaquan Brisker, and these guys in the secondary, that showed how much depth the Bears have at their strongest position. And when you have that kind of depth, you feel better about these kind of injuries and the guys coming back whenever they come back. Let's hope that they can be whole. But if they're not, the Bears are ready because they have a pretty good roster and it's deep.
I've answered this question, you know, a lot, obviously.
That is the voice of the young Blackhawk. Yes, indeed. Connor Bedard, how about the surprising Blackhawks? Did you really think they'd be 1-1-1 with a victory over the defending Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers out in Edmonton after just three games? How have the Hawks started out so well?
Very quietly, the Hawks made some noise this weekend. I know people probably didn't watch it because they couldn't find it, or they were just sleeping or out on the town, because Friday night they were in Winnipeg. They blew a 1-0 lead in the final minute. They ended up getting a point but losing in overtime. Good showing, though, against the Jets. They played competitive against a good team on the road, and then they come back-to-back nights, and they beat Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. They did it with a shift in the top line. Nick Foligno joined Bedard and Teuvo Teravainen, and Teuvo and Bedard got off. They were really strong. They're dynamic. Teuvo Teravainen's a great signing. Peter Mrazek was good on when he needed to be. Soderblom had a nice night on Friday. And so you look at their goaltending was strong. Their defense has been improved. And these veterans have got the Hawks off to a pretty good start. 1-1-1 for the first three games is encouraging. It's not a team that's overmatched, and it all starts with Bedard, but it doesn't stop there. So this is a pretty fun team to watch right now.
Well, I would tell you that I was actually checking in on this game because I had considered betting on the Oilers on Saturday night. Oilers were minus 357, meaning you had to bet $357 on the Oilers to win 100. Okay, they were a huge, huge favorite. So I am glad that I did not pull the trigger and hit accept those terms. So good. That's great. I just wish I'm just disappointed as a fan. Like, four games out west, that doesn't seem super fair.
Yeah, you know, you'd like to have them at home. You'd like to be able to see them a little bit. You'd like more coverage, frankly. That's probably our fault as much as anything else. But I did not see the Edmonton victory coming at all. And that is a good team. And that is a team that a lot of people have high aspirations for. It was pretty amazing, frankly, that they managed to get that done. It was good to see first goal of the year for Connor Bedard. It was good to see another three-point game for Bedard in his career. That is a great thing for a young man to have. Teuvo scored twice in that game. They won 5-2 at Edmonton. That blew my mind. I did not expect that one. Didn't see it coming. You know, I thought that the Hawks were in a little bit of trouble because they gave up, you know, this felt like they were giving up five goals a game in the preseason, and I was worried about how they were going to be able to win after even the first game. But to get to overtime in the second game and then finally get it done in the third game of the year, that was good. It was good to see, and they've got a good young team, and let's hope that they continue to build some momentum so when they get home we can enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Okay, that's the voice of Billy Donovan. Do you believe in Julian Phillips after he scored 21 Saturday in the Bulls preseason home opener? How concerned are you about Bezelis, 1-for-9 shooting? Can you name your top four subs if your starters are Kobe, Zach, Patrick Williams, the Vooch, and Giddey?
Yeah, I can do that fairly easily. I think Io's got a place in the rotation. I think Jalen Smith is going to be a part of it. I think Torrey Craig's three-point shooting makes him a guy that I would keep an eye on. Now, the problem here is I think you got to say Lonzo. Lonzo was on a podcast. I don't know that I'm going to count him, though, But he was on a podcast saying that they're just going to play him at the end of the year, at the end of the preseason, and then he'll be ready to go at the start of the year. We know he's on a minutes limit. We know that he can't go back-to-back games. So I will say Bouzelis. I'll throw him in there too. And I think it's because they drafted him as high as they did that he's a very young player. We saw him play very well in the first game. We saw him play less spectacularly, and the 1-of-9 shooting is obviously not ideal, but I think that's what you get with young guys. I think you're looking at that sort of thing. I think, you know, Julian Phillips, I don't have a problem with him. I'm not sure where he fits and how they're going to do it. I'm not sure that Billy is expanding everything he's doing. So, to me, Julian Phillips, Jalen, it's all kind of one guy. You know, like it's like one of these guys is going to probably separate himself.
There's three guys.
I know who they are. I'm just saying, I don't think they got spots in the rotation for all of them. So one of them is going to start playing better than the others, and he'll be in the mix. Bad idea. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about believing in Julian Phillips, but it's a good night. I mean, that's what you want. I get Bouzelis, you know, 1-for-9. He's got to get used to the United Center. How many times has he been able to shoot there so far? I'm guessing not many. So it is a little different. Every building's a little different on the whole depth perception type of thing. You know, Io, of course. But, you know, I want to see ball. That's what I want to see. I want to see that guy out there. I want to see what he's got. Enough already. Like, let's go. I don't understand the teasing and the delay of the whole thing. Put that guy out there and let us, see what he can or cannot do.
Saturday was fun. The Memphis Grizzlies had Scottie Pippen Jr. He scored 11 points back in the United Center. Scottie Pippen Jr. With 11 for the Grizzlies. Zach Edey, he scored 15 points. Is he going to start for them? Wow. So, as for the Bulls, Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry, and Montez Bouzelis may be fighting for that final rotational spot. I don't know if one of them stands out over the others. I would probably lean toward Bouzelis, but also we had a conversation with Billy Donovan where he told him that he would be okay with going to the G League. Billy Donovan appreciated that. But I don't know if that's the direction they're headed. He can be streaky, and that's going to be the product of being a rookie. But you also have him and Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips. Which one of those three guys is most consistent? Phillips looked good. 5-of-8 for three-point range. That'll keep you on the floor if you can hit from three. But they have a lot of guys who don't really know where they fit in. Talen Horton-Tucker had 16 points. Where does he fit in? Is he on the team? I don't know about... Your gimmies in the rotation are Io, Torrey Craig, Jalen Smith. Because of what you paid Jalen Smith in free agency, haven't seen much of him. Very curious. After that, 9-10 deep. I mean, if he goes 10 in rotation, it's a little bit easier. So this will work itself out. You'll have injuries. I'm not that curious about Lonzo Ball, Dustin. I think that I will be happy when he gets on the court, when he makes a ceremonial return. I am counting on him for nothing. I don't think that is mean. I just think that's realistic. I don't count on him for anything this year. I hope that he has a medical breakthrough and is written about and celebrated. But I just don't think from a point guard standpoint and a backup standpoint, you can count on him for much of anything.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Now that baseball is down to a final four, have you amended your predictions? What's the most memorable highlight from a weekend of playoff baseball?
Well, yeah, I've got to amend my prediction of pick the Phillies. So that's dead. Yankees and Dodgers, give me that. The Dodgers, 33 straight innings of scoreless baseball. Oh, my goodness. Forget about who's starting for them. Their bullpen has been lights out. That's how they dispatched the Padres late Friday night. How about the Guardians getting a grand slam Saturday? They played the game at noon because they had to with weather. I just think that that might have been the biggest highlight, but the Dodgers doing what they're doing and then the hug that Jack Flaherty had with his mom back in Southern California, that was pretty cool after last night's win by the Dodgers over the Mets to begin the NLCS. Lot of good moments. I'm amending my prediction because I have to. Yankees and Dodgers will figure out who wins that when it happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yankees, Dodgers, that's what I think is going to happen. That's what I'm cheering for. But the grand slam Saturday afternoon in Cleveland for the Guardians, that, you know, against the ace for the Tigers, that was kind of the highlight of the weekend for me.
Yeah, it wasn't a highlight for me. I was cheering for for Detroit, and it was a drag when they were eliminated. I think that was as bad as seeing the Padres eliminated. I had the Padres.
Lane Thomas hit the grand slam.
Yeah. So I just, you know, it wasn't a happy weekend in my baseball world. That doesn't matter who you want to take. I'm going to take the Dodgers over the Yankees, you know, anything but the Mets, Yankees. I don't want that at all. I would prefer the Mets to get through. Then the Yankees, would I? I don't know. I don't like the Guardians. I think I like the Yankees. So I'll go with what I had been hoping for, which is Ohtani returning to the mound to strike out Soto and Judge. What do you think?
How about Kopech?
Kopech can strike out someone before, and then, you know.
That would be cool.
Yeah, he's, you know, Kopech's pitching really well for himself. It's kind of amazing. I know he had that immaculate inning, but boy, you know, they kind of hit a wall with him, and you knew he was going to be good, but it's just a pity they didn't get any proper major league players out of that deal.
Great argument for change of scenery.
Yeah, no question. If a great argument for anybody looking for pitching help to come to the White Sox. Seems to work out.
A lot of people do that.
We got to get to the extra point. That's next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Go Brew Crew.